And we'll take that before we go for a short break. As I was going through this presentation, those of us in the IPC would have seen this presentation, but I don't have my laptop, so I cannot make the presentation. So I was going through this morning and praying. The Lord said to me, see Africa with the eye of faith. That is to say, don't see Africa with the eyes of fear and doubt, but with the eyes of faith. Because God is doing something in Africa. Again, the Lord said to me, see Africa with a heart of compassion. And when the Lord said these two things to me this morning, I remembered. I was on a prayer initiative with John Robb somewhere either in Pakistan or India. I can't remember exactly. And after that, John Robb told me this story about World Vision. World Vision is the largest humanitarian organization, or one of the largest humanitarian organizations in the world. And the founder of World Vision, I've forgotten his name for now. I don't know if anyone knows, can remember his name. Bob Pierce. He just came back from India. He saw the poverty. He saw the hunger. He saw the suffering of people. And he went back to his home. And he began to pray. And he said, God, let the thing that break your heart break my heart. And that was the birth of World Vision. Because as it were, the Lord thrust upon him a burden for the world. And I pray that every one of us here would make the same prayer. Let the things that break the heart of God for Africa break our hearts. The challenges of Africa. 9 out of 10 vulnerable countries in the world vulnerable to climate change are in sub-Saharan South Africa. Over 60% of the African population are youth and children below the age of 18. Economic hardship. The rising debt profile. Hunger and poverty. Unemployment and underemployment. And I want you to process that when it comes to your various countries. Poor infrastructure, roads, potable water, telecommunication, electricity. I remember when I was in the oil industry, I visited South Africa. Then South Africa was self-sufficient when it came to electricity. And they even exported. But now I read that you have energy shedding in South Africa. We are running on generators here because a country like Nigeria that produces oil cannot manage her resources. Poor state of poor health care, poor medical facilities, low investment in our health sector, shortages in health workers due to migration of skilled health workers. Corruption in procurement of medical products and technologies. Fake drugs. Fake medical equipment. Medical tourism by political leaders. You know that there was a time our head of state was in UK for 6 months. Medical tourism. He left the country. Was it 6 months or 100 days? He left the country and was receiving medical treatment abroad. Abdicated his responsibility here. Instability. Failure of national governments due to greed and corruption. Unconstitutional changes of government. Resurgence of coups and coup d'etats in Chad, in Guinea, in Mali, in Sudan, in Burkina Faso. When we were planning this conference, we had problem getting buying a ticket for our brother coming from Chad, because most airlines will not go there. So he had to come by road. Actually, he didn't drive. He joined the public transport to come 5 days from Chad. Can you imagine that? Is Brother Serge in the hall this morning? Okay. You're welcome. The Lord bless you. Such are the problems of traveling within Africa, especially West Africa. It has even improved many years ago. To travel within West Africa, you would at times spend 2 days in a particular country waiting for an aircraft to come. Climate change. Increasing national disasters due to climate change, drought, famine, flooding, vulnerable coastal cities with over 1 million population include Dakar, Lagos, and Durban. Crime and violence. We also have problems with drug trafficking and use. Kidnapping for ransom, ritual killings, domestic violence. I don't know whether these things exist in other countries, but they exist in my country. If they don't exist in yours, please pray for me. Pray for us. Insecurity is another problem in Africa. Intrastate conflict, which threatens regional stability in East Africa. We know the problem in Ethiopia. There is the spillover of militancy, and also the problem in Somalia. There is insurgency. There is proliferation of armed groups in the DRC and, of course, in Nigeria. Another problem we have is the loss of skilled manpower. Increasing migration due to economic hardship. The younger population are migrating, going to what they call the greener pastures, going to Europe, going to America, going to different parts of the world. I don't have the statistics, But many of the medical doctors from Nigeria, nurses, including some who are in this church, they have migrated to Europe. Now, what they are doing now is countries like Britain has opened up their country for teachers, science teachers, to move out of this country to go and be teaching in Europe. And they pay them only £1,000+ per month. But they prefer to go because of their children. So, we're increasingly seeing loss of skilled manpower. Brain drain. According to the president of the Nigerian Medical Association, over 99,000 medical doctors migrated from Nigeria to the UK, US, Canada between 2016 and 2018. The number has increased. Refugee crisis as a result of forced migration is also a problem we have in Africa. Then terrorism and violent extremism, it's also an issue. We have radical Islam, we have jihad, the Boko Haram. You know, when Boko Haram started many years ago, our cousins were so happy because they bombed the churches. They killed Christians and things like that. Little did they know that the same Boko Haram will come after them. Even now, the Boko Haram are after their own fellow Muslims. And they have destroyed communities. The economy of some of the states have been devastated. ISWAP, fanatical Fulani herders, and insurgency. These are problems in our continent. I remember we listened to a presentation made by a sister, Elizabeth, who lives in Australia, about the Sahel region. And from our presentation, we very, very apt, accurate, detailed, inciting, full of insights. One of my pastors said, in view of what is happening in the Sahel region, what should be the strategy of this church when it comes to sending missionaries? Because we have missionaries in Burkina Faso, Togo, Benin, Cote d'Ivoire, and we were thinking of going up to Niger, Chad, but then when we saw the incidents of terrorism and violent clashes from Fulani headsmen, we began to ask ourselves, do we change our strategy? You cannot send a missionary to such places because it's full of risks. So one of the things, challenges we have, is that due to terrorism and violent extremism, the church cannot grow. And the church in those areas, in the northern part of West Africa, they are either threatened or closed down or attacked or devastated. We also have human and organ trafficking. Modern day slavery. Organ harvesting and trafficking. And this is because even some of the people in Europe encourage people to come and sell the organs of their body so that they can harvest those parts of their body for the very rich people who need them. Religious conflicts, well, it's a problem in Africa. Sunni and versus Shiite conflict. Christians versus Muslim conflict. Then neo-colonization. The debt trap. Most African nations are indebted to China, if not all. The scramble for African resources by China, the US, and the Russia. Some of the West African countries that were colonized by the French have asked the French soldiers to move out of their country, and they are welcoming Russian soldiers. Idolatry, revival of African traditional religions, cultism, religious syncretism, low literacy is a problem in Africa. Low access to higher education, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Lack of investment in education. But it's not all sad news. It's not all sad news. When you go through all these problems, as an intercessor, you may be discouraged. As a mission worker, you may be discouraged. However, we thank God for some positive developments. It's not all woes and woes. God is also at work in Africa. And let me give you an idea. Africa is the one continent where I know you can go and share the gospel with someone on the street and they will listen to you. When I go back to Dallas and I go to the mall to do evangelism, they will call the police for me. I have been threatened with the police. If you don't go here, we'll call the police. You can do open evangelism, even in the malls. You can't do open evangelism to your neighbor in Texas. You are afraid they may come out with their gun. You know, Americans are quick with their guns to shoot. So you are very, very careful. Very, very careful. My neighbor in the U.S., I thought of, my wife and I will always discuss how we do we reach these people? Because you don't know your neighbor. Then my wife came up with an idea. She said, I'm going to cook good African dish. Go and invite them to eat. And Americans love food. Because God has blessed them with food. So she went inviting all our neighbors and said, come and eat American dish. I mean, my African dish. And believe me, they came. They came. They ate. They enjoyed it. And that broke the ice. Little did we know God was going to use that. 2 months, when they came, they were discussing with my wife. I was not there. And they said, oh, we'll soon be going to Hawaii in the next 1 month for a holiday and so on. Now, after that, a few weeks after that, I got back and my wife told me, I said, thank God. Within 1 month, that family went on holidays and they left their daughter at home. She had an epileptic fit, fell down on the ground, hit her head on the ground and died. I came out and I saw the police, ambulance, and I was wondering, and I went back. was afraid. Are they searching for? Is there any drug dealer or whatever? I came out again to enter the car and drive out, and one of the ladies came and said, sorry, all you see is because a girl died in that flat. That was an opportunity for us to reach out to that family. And they gave their life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But ordinarily, you don't go and knock at people's door to share the gospel. Because every person is isolated. So we normally go to train station. We normally go to the mall. And at times you give people track, they will tell you, no, 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 no. But thank God in Africa, I can walk out here and stand on the street there and be sharing the gospel. Or if I tell somebody, can I pray for you? They will say, oh, man of God, pray for me. In America, if you say, can I pray for you? They say, I don't believe in your God. So we thank God for Africa. We have challenges. We have problems. But there are still positive developments here. Amen? And it just occurred to me, you know, one of the positive things in Africa, we still have family values. We have family values. You don't just kick away your partner like that. The family will step in. We love to take care of our elderly ones. We love to take care of our relations. We love to take care of ourselves. That is something which also God has given to us. But again, like we have here, in 2 days' time, we'll be going to the redeemed camp. There you will see over 1 million people hungry, seeking for the Lord. It's a positive development. Amen? Our streets may not all be tarred. There may be hunger. There may be suffering. But God is still at work. Africans still call on God and He answers. Praise the Lord. Another thing the Lord has done for us is, during the COVID, it was Bill Gates who said, street corpses will lie in Africa. But brethren, there were no corpses along the streets in Africa. Praise the Lord. God helped us during COVID. We didn't have the deaths other nations recorded. Why? God helped us. We have the immunity. Somehow, because of the malaria, drugs will be taken. And of course, like Jason Hubbard said, we were praying. And God answered our prayers. Then we have a youth, active youth population. We have children in Africa. That is a positive note. If you go to many societies in Europe, it's only the elderly. But here we have children, we have youths, we have the elderly. They are still active, and it's something to thank God for. So, before we go on break, we would bow our heads. And I don't know whether the picture we painted here reflects your country, or does it only reflect Nigeria? Does it only reflect Nigeria? Does it reflect East Africa? South Africa? North Africa? Central Africa? Then we will discuss these issues. I believe that through your prayer and my prayer, God can change the scenario. Do you believe? God will do something in our continent. We will challenge Him. We will ask the Lord, do something in our continent. Give us good leaders. Help us to be able to harness the resources you've given to us for social, economic, and political development. We have the resources. We only need to harness it and use it for the development of our continent. Praise the Lord. Can we bow our heads and just talk to the Lord about these challenges we've identified in Africa? Can we pray over Africa? Pray over Africa. Pray over the challenges we have in our continent. Pray over the challenges we have in our continent. Ask the Lord to bring healing to our continent. Studio room, please, can you give us 2 Chronicles 7:14? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Can you project that passage? Second Chronicles 7:14. In Jesus' name we pray. Brethren, look at this text. We all know it. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That phrase, turn from their wicked ways. Someone said there must be a turning. There must be a turning for the next part to follow. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Let us ask the Lord, touch our hearts in this continent. Touch our leaders so that we may turn from our wicked ways, so that God will hear us and forgive our sin and heal our land. Can we say that to the Lord? Can we say that to the Lord? Father Lord, may you help us. We repent on behalf of our nation. We repent on behalf of our continent. We repent, O God, and ask for your forgiveness. Touch our hearts. Pour forth the spirit of repentance. Pour forth the spirit, O Lord, of repentance, deep repentance, that we may turn from our wicked ways. We may turn from our sins so that healing will come to the land. May you hear our prayers. May you forgive us and cleanse us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Father, again, I thank you for your son, Reuben, who spoke, O Lord, and who has blessed us, and your son, Dr. Jason, who has blessed us. Thank you for the session we had in this morning. As we go, O Lord, Father, for a tea break, may you go with us, and may you help us and continue to bless us. We give you all the honor and the glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for that, shofar. You are free to go for your tea break right across the hall. We have tea and we have biscuits. Some of you will see the African puff puff, what we call puff puff. The Ghanaians know what we call puff puff. Taste it, you will enjoy it. Thank you. Have a wonderful break.